Welcome to this podcast called Lyttelos, or Listener's Pilot in English. My name is Annabelle Guaita, and I'm a classical pianist. So now we're here back in the living room with Jordi Mora. It's Sunday. I think it's 11th of March. And the 10th, actually. And we are doing the third session here with this podcast. And the two previous days was really exciting, intense. You were talking about rhythm and melodic tension and distension. And today you promised that we will go more into the harmony. What creates harmonic tension? What creates harmonic distension? And how very profoundly going into phenomenology of music, which is how music affects our consciousness, how it appears in our consciousness. How would you put it?
Mm-hmm. Well, good morning. The first thing is, I would say, better than how music appears in our consciousness, how the result of the sounds relations which take in our consciousness leads us to music.
Yeah.
Fine. Because music is not something. It's not a bee. Nature. It's a becoming nature. So we cannot never catch it, because music means that the now goes to the future, and then the future becomes the now, and never stops. So it's not something that you can catch it, like a picture, or like an object, like a plant, like...
So
The essence is constantly developing. That's what in German there is a fantastic word. This is the word werden.
Werden.
We have be to be, that's a sign, and sign is something like it is. And werden is something that becomes the whole time. So you cannot catch it. It's just a bee, but an constant evolution. That's why it's impossible to make a definition of music, because werden is in continually change. We can approach, you can approach some thoughts how musical nature could be, but not a definition. And not what is very important is to go away from the idea that music is something. Music is nothing.
So music is how sound become music in your consciousness, in the meeting of in your consciousness.
That is exactly.
Can you also say that
how
music exists is not something that exists in the very sounds, but in between the sounds, the relations.
It's the relationship. Is the result of the relationship between sounds. That's music.
And that's where the human being come in, because we have to be conscious about the relationships, not just the notes itself.
Not the note itself, that's right. And, well, that sounds a little bit so metaphysic and difficult. It's not at all. We do this the whole time, with everything. Yeah. If I see you, you are not Annabelle because of your eyes, but also, and not because of your nose only, but also mouth, knees. So when I see you, my consciousness makes relationships of your facts, individual facts, and then brings the unity. All these relationships. That's why I say Annabelle. And with the table, there are parts of the table. yeah, but I see the one part, the other part, the size, and at the end I say table. So the human being the whole time brings multiplicity to unity, the whole time.
Yeah, we try to make some kind of meaning about it. Yeah. It makes sense. It's a table. It's not four legs.
Yeah.
It's a table.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the thing is that we cannot do in another way. And the question that you asked me yesterday, why? Yeah, because we are unity. That's the point. And then everything which is out of unity brings to us in stress. Bring to us in doubt. Why is so difficult to bring the whole life begin and end into one? Yeah, because so many facts that I cannot do it intellectually, intuitively, perhaps sometimes. Sometimes I go walk into the street and I have the feeling that everything is okay. Everything is on his place. Even if in the morning I had a call which was a terrible new, doesn't matter if it's terrible or nice, this feeling of everything is what it has to be and it is in the right place, that is the intuition that brings us that we make a unity of life. You see?
So there's a kind of acceptance in that as well, accepting that everything that happens is a part of
It's a part of a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in music, because this bow of the life is so big, we take sound relations, color relationships, and we make music with pincher and so why. We put the very big cosmos and very big line, yeah, that we have, into a smaller line so I can experience this marvelous phenomena that every part of a musical piece, every note, every articulation, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter how painful can be this moment, yeah, or how wonderful. Doesn't matter if it's painful or wonderful. It is what it is, and it comes when it has to come. And by taking such a musical piece and make the realization of this musical piece, I am and at every moment just in one note, just in one present, but this present is a part of the whole. So the mystery of the union between individual every moment and universal whole piece takes place.
Yeah.
What philosophy cannot explain and cannot do. But we can do it. We can do it also in life, but it's very difficult. Music is the short way, as Celibidache said, is a very short way to go to transcendence. And transcendence is that the moments are part of a big line, and the big line exist only because of these moments. So moments without big line has no meaning. And big line without moments cannot exist. So we have to go through the cosmos, which is in the time, but to go over the time. Because when if I'm playing good or I listen to a good concert, you say after half an hour, wow, half an hour, so fast is the time. I didn't notice that this symphony is so short. No. You go, it's not short and it's not long. We go over the time because we are catching the whole, which is builded from the small moments. So small and big, That's exactly so important. They depend one of each other.
Can I ask, since we are talking about time, it's related to tempo, and Celibidache was very often taking slower tempi than his fellow conductors.
Yes.
Is that a relation with...
Of course. Because if you want to go really inside of the piece, the more you listen what happens in the piece, the more you will get to the hall. You cannot go to the hall just by, so listen a little bit. No, no, you have to listen all the relationships. So to listen to all the relationships, if you are really listen, it takes time.
Mm.
So when people say Celibidache makes slow tempos, it's because they don't hear what Celibidache hears. For Celibidache, it's not too slow. For Celibidache, it's right. For Celibidache, this is the tempo that he needs or it is needed to listen all the relationship of the parts. So if you take a faster tempo, it means that you don't listen to everything. If you don't listen to everything, you cannot get to the whole one which we are looking for. Celibidache would say never is too fast or is too slow. He will say this is the wrong tempo. Yeah. A wrong tempo can be too fast, of course. Can be too slow, even as slow as Celibidache's tempo, of course. Too fast means that I don't have the time to catch everything what happens in the small articulations. And too slow, it means I walk so slow, I listen so slow, that the whole line spreads away because I take in the tempo too slow. That is, I compare this by looking at pictures. If you get very close to a picture, you see this blue is not so blue as the blue after, and the blue after is especially blue and then comes to a light green. This is marvelous, fantastic. Then they ask, yeah, and what it is? I don't know. That is too slow. You listen too close to the picture. Now, you put a little more away, you say, this is a tree, yeah? And this is a lake. But if you go too far away, you see there's a tree, a lake, but you don't see the colors and you don't see details because you are too far away. So this is a... When Michelangelo painted in the Capilla Sixtina on the ceiling, he was calculating how many meters the people will look to these pictures. So, and that's why they are so big or so small. That means there's a relationship between the picture and the distance that you are looking to. If it is too close, the distance, you see many details, you don't see the whole. If you are too far away, you see the whole, but a lot of details lacking. This happens with musical tempo also. We have to find the right distance. And then when we find the right distance, it is not too slow and it is not too fast. This is just right. And that is the point.
And it depends a lot also on the room you're playing in. So in this small...
Not only.
Living room, it would be different than in a big concert hall.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because in a big concert hall, you have more sound, more money, so your consciousness has to catch, needs more time to catch, because there's more sound. And also... What is incredible, you play at this piano and you have a sound, legato and, you know, Joe sound. And then another pianist plays the same piano and the same acoustic and it sounds different. A little bit more light or dark, I don't know. So he has to find the ideal tempo for his sound. That's why it is no meaning and it's a sense without sense if we compare he's doing faster, he's doing slower. No. Perhaps he's doing well in relationship with him. Perhaps, I don't know. This is only possible not in registration, but only in the concert hall, live music. But tempo, what makes the right tempo? Musical structure, of course. Acoustic and creation of your sound. You see? The orchestras, they are more expressive. Orchestras are more light. So the expressive orchestras will need more time to express this. And the light orchestras, a little bit less. So the thing is, there is an ideal tempo in each situation and here and now. So here and now, you have to find every time the right tempo, even with yourself. Because sometimes we wake very optimistic and a lot of energy and so, and sometimes we wake up and then the day is a bit rainy and I'm more introvert. So I would play different.
Yeah. Is this some of the reason why Tilly Bedacke did not want to record?
Absolutely.
So well, he didn't want to freeze his tempo or anything in time.
Well, first of all, if music takes place on the here and now, what is a recording? This is not a here and now anymore. This is something what happened, and a machine makes you the illusion that you are listening to this here and now, what is already over. So this is the first thing. So it is a lie, a musical lie, finally, a recording, because it's not anymore the here and now that you are living. Now this is past, and past doesn't exist. That's why this is one, the main obstacle why recorded music will be never the same as live music. Every musician and every person knows this. That live music is better than recorded music. This is clear. But the other thing is, you listen, you play piano in a room, and this room has this sound, and you have this sound at this moment, today and now. And then you find the tempo. But the tempo, you find the right tempo by listening to the sound and the here and now. Now, you recorded this. What does the microphone do? The microphone annulates some harmonics and create harmonics who they never were there. Because, you know, so he creates a new sound. So if you create a new sound, you have to change the tempo because it's a different sound. But creates a new sound with the same tempo. And here, that is the contradiction. And then you stay, you go to the bathroom and you put Beethoven's Ninth with Herbert von Karajan. And you think you are listening to Beethoven's Ninth conducted in your bathroom 40 years after the concert has played. This is an illusion. This is a contradiction. This is the devil in the machines. Only machines.
But what is the danger of it? Because sometimes the recording is historically very interesting to listen to, and also the sound can be even better than in a concert hall because it's more preserved and engineered, you know?
Yeah.
So what is the danger then that we become?
Well, the danger is that this doesn't correspond the tempo with the sound what you are listening to. If it doesn't correspond, then you are listening to a fiction, not to a reality.
So we you
make a construction of a reality in your mind. But music can only take place in the here and now, every time.
Is it that we become insensitive for here and now?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what we spoke the first day, that everything is an evolution, even us. So we are not the same now and 5 days before, or 5 years, of course, that's very clear, but 5 days also, and 5 hours, and 5 minutes, and 5 seconds. Why? Because we never stop to evaluate, never stop. So, if you listen to a recording, which is sound relation who already took place, in the moment that you play at this recording, you were in a state of the evolution, unique, because every moment has no repetition. Now, 3 years later, you play the same play, the same piece. You are a different person already. So you have to find a way, again, excuse me, how are the relationships now with you? But not the relationships who took 3 years back, because you are already a different person. That's another reason why recordings cannot be music. It can, of course, you can enjoy, you hear to the harmonies, to the nice voice, even to some phrasings. So you can hear some things, but something's lacking. This is the spontaneity of to have the life experience of the total here and now. So you can get something, but you will never get the whole. Never. And in phenomenology, we are looking for the whole, not for the parts, not for some aspects. And recordings, from one side, it has been a fantastic possibility to know different works and how he plays and this author, and so we have it at home. That is fantastic. But at the same time, he has destroyed partially our spontaneity to catch the here and now fully. That's why today's youth, they're a little bit apathetic. You know, why? Because recordings. If you take a recording like an information, or like I will hear this once or so, that's okay. But if you listen 20 times to this recording, there's 20 times equal. This doesn't exist in the cosmos. Because a recording, if you listen this 20 times, it's just a repetition every time. So this is not cosmos.
And you are teaching a lot of students. have you seen a development in the students' ability to read scores without listening to the recording? How is their ability now, since 20 years ago?
Well, you have, of course, there's this... you have to cross the desert, yeah, to the Holy Land, if you are learning, yeah, with a movement. Perhaps you need 10 hours. You have to listen to the harmonies, the melodies, everything. And if you don't hear, you go to the piano, okay, this harmony, but it needs 10 hours. By recording, you put ping and prrr, you listen this to in 5 minutes. So it has to be a difference. In 5 minutes, you think you have listened to this piece, but you have not. It's an illusion. But if you work it, then at the end, this is your piece.
Are you teaching your conducting students?
Like this?
Like this, without recording?
Yes, of course.
And how to read?
Of course, recording only. First, you have to learn the score from you to the score without any... The worst thing you can do is to pick Google 10 versions. I listen to the 10 versions and I make a synthesis of the first version with the third. And so. This is the worst thing you can do, because it's not you that have discovered the piece. It's better that you discover, it's better that you sit in the piano and you fight with the relation. No, this is too much. Now I found it. So it will take you a lot of more time But at the end, the peace will be yours. That's the difference. So if you listen to the recording, you are eating what it has been already eaten. It sounds awful, but I want to make it, a little bit dramatic. Yeah. Mm. It is like this. It is like this. So
you are eating what has already been digested by somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, yeah. And don't. Yeah. So, but the, one of the worst thing of the recording is that you put the recording five times, and it's just five statical times exactly the same.
Mm. Music that, is not like that.
No. No. Because one day you will play more happy, more light, and the other day you will play a little bit more dark. You will always find the phrasing. That doesn't change. But the circumstances change every time. So the art of creation is to look after the same, to this is unity, in a constant changing cosmos. So every time is different. But you are looking for the same. Every time you have to find yourself again. That's why music cannot be taken as an object. I have music. No, that's impossible. Mm. I have to go into music every time. So, and every time, you can say, every time it will be different. Yes, but that is not important. Because if you compare how I do it now and how I did it yesterday, you are comparing. And comparing is an intellectual action. It's just not here and now. So if you are playing the piece now, you are not thinking, how did you play yesterday?
Hmm.
You are now. Hmm. And just now. So every time in now, every time in now, forget the past. And recordings are past.
Hmm.
Are past.
So how can an audience who does not play himself or herself prepare for a concert? I mean, the live concert is the best way to experience the music, but sometimes I tell people I teach listening to music to listen a lot of the pieces again and again so they get familiar with the music. And then I got more into the piece, and then we go to the concert and then we experience the piece alive. And it's a stronger experience.
But they play the piece again and again from a recording.
Mm. It's the only way. Otherwise, yeah.
They can, if they take the piece, the recording, so two, three times, that's okay, but not more. Because then they are listening to a repeating, non-existent, static version of
that. And then maybe very often this recording becomes the reference, and you go to a concert and then you say, well, I didn't like so much this live recording, because you really feel that your recording at home has been the best because you know it better.
That's just a tragic.
It's a very tragic.
That's just a tragedy.
Tragedy, yeah.
Yeah. It happens to me also before I knew about these things. No, I was listening to Meistersinger Overture with, you know, the
headphones,
very loud.
Mm.
When I was at home, so happy. I went to Bayreuth Festspiele, and they play Meistersinger. And then when it started with the overture, I was so disappointed. This is so soft.
Yeah.
I was destroying myself. I'm sorry. Destroy myself. You can take a recording as information, but not as a artistical way to listen to music. No. So if you want to come to the end, of course. Yeah. That's why it's just better to stay at home and listen to Beethoven's Ninth with Chelyabinsky, or it is better to go to a concert which you know it won't be very good, but perhaps they make some phrasing and so on. It's no question for me. No question.
Mm.
So I will go to the concert. Because if we stay at home with our machines, we are more and more far away from the here and now. A machine is a machine.
Mm.
Even a picture or a telephone, you cannot speak with a person fully if this person is 300 kilometers away from you. You have to see to the eyes. Mm. You have to see the vibrato of the voice, how he smiles and so. Video is a little bit better, but it cannot replace life.
That's true. Mm.
So that's the same. Every time that is a machine in between, something goes away from reality.
Mm.
Yeah, and in music also.
Yeah, I see more and more students of mine, they don't have acoustic pianos, they have electric pianos.
Yeah.
And the argument is always, well, it's better to have an electric piano because it's always in tune.
Yeah.
And it's better quality than an old piano. But I say always, oh, better with an old acoustic piano.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it has more overtones, harmonics.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they say, no, but the electric piano also have harmonics. It's created artificially. So what can you do?
Yeah. Well, try to convince him. If not, then it's better to play electric pianos than nothing.
Or play violin instead.
Yeah. But technology, it can be very helpful, but it has the great danger that brings men away from here and now.
Mm.
That's the point. Yeah. So, the tempo in music, it has to be discovered every time.
Mm.
If you play now the Beethoven, and then we play on Tuesday the Beethoven again, you have to refound Beethoven. You cannot play because you play it like this today.
Mm.
We recreate, we experience rebirth. We are born every moment, not every day, no. We are born every moment in life. We cannot go back to the past, which is what is a recording.
Mm.
It has to be discovered every time with our machines.
Mm. And this is something phenomenology can bring to us.
Well, it can help you to put a little bit order in your thinking. So, phenomenology says recorded music finally is not music.
Because, what we say, because of the here or now.
Yeah, because of repetition,
mechanical
repetition. And because the tempo is another sound, yeah, you listen in the recording day to the acoustic, and then you find the tempo.
Mm.
Okay. And this is a nice hole. Then you put this recording in your living room. This is another acoustic. So the sound changes, but the speed not.
Mm. It would be like you and me talking now is here and now. It's very live.
Yeah.
I respond to you and you respond to me.
Yeah.
But in the recording, there's no, it's already set. It's already fixed.
Yes. It's already less.
Yeah.
So it's not the same to have a conversation live that to listen to a conversation which is recorded.
Because then the spontaneity is gone.
Well,
it's frozen in time.
How many here and nows do we have in life? That's a good question.
Yeah.
So many nows like as life gives to us. There is no one here and now which is equal with the past. This is every time a different here and now. Different. Because I am in evolution.
That is one of the first discoveries you told me in 1994.
Yeah.
That every tone, even there is the same note.
The same note. Even the same note
is not the same. That was like, what?
Yeah.
Da 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 rum pam pam.
Yeah, yeah.
I played
this
Mozart sonata. Dum pam pam pam. These four notes.
Yeah.
He said, no, it's not four equal notes. Each of these notes has a relationship to either silence or to the first note or to the second note or to the what's where it's going. And that became like this opening up this window into phenomenology of music.
Yes, yes. And it has to be done live, live, you know?
And it's not an intellectual
exercise not at
either.
All.
It's discovery.
Not at all. Yeah, I mean, I don't discover the wheel. The wheels, no? I'm not discovering the wheel now. But everyone knows that recorded music is not the same as live music. Even in the pop scene is like this. And the jazz, absolutely. Mm. But in the classicals, even you think, well, but the same notes, it's always the same. No, it is always the same notes, but it's never the same.
Mm.
Every time we experience this as the first time.
Yeah.
Like life it is, like... Heraclit said, you won't take a bath twice in the same river. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm.
That's it.
Mm.
It is like this. That is the essence of cosmos. That's why in phenomenology this is very clear, but also in yoga. And also a lot of philosophers. Yeah. So you cannot take a bath, real bath in the river, and then the next day you take the bath, but you are at your room and you are looking for a video of the river.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible. This is out of, we go out of deep reality.
So and music can bring us to deep reality and to be sensitive about life itself. That's what Heidegger said.
Yeah.
That art and music can bring us in touch with,
yes,
with the sensitivity of life.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's what he meant. Just you know being in touch with something that is bigger than ourselves, but actually the real here and now is only present in the music when it's played.
Yeah. Well, to think that we are looking for something which is bigger than ourselves. That a yogi will say this is totally wrong, because we are the self. Ourselves are the self. We are not looking for a God which is so high and so impossible to achieve that then I say, I'm sorry, and so on. No. The yoga said, you are the self.
So we have, it's...
You are, the self is inside you.
So it's more like we mirror ourselves in
that's
the
right.
Very
it's
act
a
of music.
The mirror is not big. Music is not bigger than we. It is not smaller than we. It is we.
It is we. Mm.
That's the point. But we have to practice and we have to check out the conditions. And the conditions are, it can only take place 100% life. That's the point. 100%.
Mm.
Yeah. If you want to have it 20%, I like 20%. Okay. But this is another thing.
Mm.
Yeah. And this is, for me, is a hope. Because it doesn't matter how much the technique develops, we'll never be a supplement to supply the human consciousness. Impossible.
Do you think live music concert always will survive? Always will be a part of human activity?
Well, I think so.
Because we need it. Or
well, it's a fantastic way to get to the experience of the whole, no? Of the one. Fantastic experience. That's the main reason why we are doing music. Yeah, and then I cannot imagine that a human being will go out of this. Why? Because it's himself.
Hmm.
Why are we here? To know who we are. So, and what are we? The one.
Hmm.
Finnish. Yeah, that's very simple, but wow.
Yeah, symphony orchestras are, at least in Norway, struggling to have enough audience for one or two concerts a week. So
we're losing people.
But it seems to be older generation to lead that goes to concerts, and the younger generation now is not so eager to go and listen to music anymore. So
they stay home and listen to recordings. That's the reason. The machines
taking over
that we have built ourselves, which makes life very much easy, no?
Hmm.
A WhatsApp group, this is a fantastic, it's the best way to organize. I cannot imagine my life without WhatsApp anymore. So we create dependence. But in practical things, this is fantastic. In spiritual things and art, it's a catastrophe. Catastrophe.
Still, we need something, as you say, to aspire to. So, but it depends on the people are open to experience this long symphonies. There are long pieces.
Yeah.
It's hard to stay in it. And it's easy that the conscious next breaks and you start to think about other things and you lose the whole. You lose the whole.
Annabel, sometimes in concerts, a piece which 10 minutes can be incredibly long. And pieces well played 1 hour, you don't notice that the time is over. So it's not a question of long. But it's a question of how to put the awareness. I understand what you mean. The longer the pieces, the more you have to be aware, longer. Okay, that's true. So we start with simple pieces. And then if there is a piece which is complicated and long, we have to relax.
Mm.
We have to put everything away and let it go.
Mm.
Let it become. Don't go to the concert with your luggage.
No, leave the luggage outside.
Leave the luggage outside.
In the wardrobe.
And go inside naked.
Mm. But I
inside
also,
naked. And just listen.
Mm. When I teach listening to audience, when I teach people how to approach a symphony, for example, I use some of the insights you have shown me. For example, how the phrasing is, so they can connect with the breathing of the music.
Yeah, okay.
And it's very intuitively, very easy to grasp, in the beginning at least. And then you go back. And then it's possible to discover that this breathing is something that we can always connect to. And connecting to the breathing of the music makes you also aware of here and now, because it's recognizable.
That's very good, because you are talking about a very essential point, this breathing. Yeah. But that's G major. Now comes the second movement. Now Beethoven, when he write this, was in love with a woman who he said, this is not necessary. Listening is necessary.
Mm.
And you can help a very deep way of listening is to experience this breathing. And let it become, let it go.
But people love these old stories about the composers and how they lived and what kind of relationships they had and how was the situation when the composition was created. They love history. So a lot of pre-concert lectures is about the past. It's about the creation of the piece, about the composer's history.
Hmm.
Could it be any different? A lecture about preparation of listening to a piece.
No, this is, I mean, to explain people the life of the composer, that's okay. That bring the people closer to the composers and human, you know. But in the moment of listening, don't think that he was in love or was not in love. Just listen to the thing. That is the most directly way to go into.
Just listen.
So they have, you relax, you breathe before the concert, and you start to put away your thoughts in the past. Yesterday I did this and blah, 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 and in the future.
Mm.
And you are one with your breathing. This is the best thing you can do before the concert starts.
Yeah. Be one best with your thing. Breathing.
That's and then there starts to sound, and you embrace what it comes, or you go, you jump into this evolution, and you let that evolution brings you to the cosmos, a walk through the cosmos, you know? That's just the best thing.
Shall we walk to the piano and do the next chapter?
Yeah.
By the piano?
Okay.
This has been a wonderful talk. Thank you.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
But we make a break, no?
Yeah, okay.